Good morning. Love you all. Thankful for you all being here. And I need to remind us, because I need to remind it, because the world doesn't want us to understand and know that narrow is a gate. I love you. That's why I'm reminding us and you this morning. Narrow is a gate. I think one of the biggest falsehoods Satan is instilled in people's hearts, then most people are going to make it to eternity in heaven. And our Lord and Savior said, not so. Not that he doesn't have the love or the power or the desire to give us all things, as he just said in that passage. But narrow is the gate. But I ask us to think about that for this morning. What happens if the gate is wide to get into heaven? What happens if you can do whatever you want and still make it to heaven? What does that do in our hearts and in our minds? I dare say, brothers and sisters and friends, that that's why people start justifying sin. It's okay. These people will make it. God will forgive them. And then people start adding to or taking away from God's holy word. When Jesus himself said, narrow is the gate. It's a beautiful gate. We're not talking about thorny gate that you're going to have to crawl under barbed wire to get in, folks. It's a glorious place. It's a reward. It's better than the birthday presents. It's better than Christmas. It's better than your firstborn. Every newborn. The sunshine that God blesses us with. This beautiful earth. Splendors of heaven cannot compare. And I mention that so we don't lose sight of our true home. Narrow is the gate, Jesus said. This morning we're going to read some passages from Matthew. And before Jesus said narrow is the gate, let's kind of read through his holy word. And obviously each passage I have some things highlighted and underlined for us to take a look at. But there's so much in the words of Jesus, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, as we read them this morning. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Narrow is the gate. I don't know about you, but that gate of worry is right there in front of me every day. Every day. But Jesus says, guess what? What does worry do for us, folks? I know I mentioned it years and years ago and a while ago, but I'll mention it for you to consider this. If you haven't heard it before, it's kind of a simple deal, and I've heard it in different ways, but you know, 85% of what we worry about will never even happen. So 85 and 10, 95, right? It's going to happen and you can't do nothing about it. It's going to happen. You can worry about it all you want, but it's going to happen. 5% of 100%, you really have control of something that you can do something about. You have a choice to act one way or the other. Narrow is the gate for us to be able to control our worry. And to recognize, like Jesus says here, why are you worried? I love you. I created you. I will take care of you. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we can't. You know, it says, be cautious of it. Don't be consumed with it. Stop. How many times are you worried about something and you walk by a blessing? Or you walk by somebody in need, a neighbor, an opportunity to be a good Samaritan. Worry robs us of the joy of life, the joy of serving. And then what happens when you start worrying about, gee whiz, I worry about this, and I worry about this, and I worry about injustices, and guess what happens? You forgot to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You start seeking solutions to your worry. You think you can change it all and make it all right. If you got that 5% going on, that's fine. But just remember, 95%, you're worrying about 95% you can't do nothing about. The best thing you can do when you feel yourself start to worry. Folks, I've come upon this in the last 3-4 months myself. I worry about people. I worry about the church. I worry about our country. To seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness above all things. And give things over to Him. I don't know about, I was talking to my brother in the last couple months. And I said, man, I don't, you know. Lucas, do I like to do stuff on my own? I'm just asking this question. Full self-revealing. Let me ask you a different way. Do I like doing things my way? See that? See, the first time you're like, that's, I don't know. No, I like doing things with everybody, but guess what? I like doing it my way. I don't know, maybe you guys don't struggle with that. Examine yourself, God's holy word says. There's nothing wrong with that. If I want to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, I need to examine myself. That's what my brother was telling me. You're just like Dad. You always want to do things your way, and sometimes you end up doing it by yourself because you want to do it your way. At least I get it done right. But I do miss doing it with people. I think my way is the best way sometimes. You know, at work, I got to be cautious. I use this term. There's different ways to skin a cat. I've never skinned a cat, but I guess there are different ways. That's the saying. But there are different ways of doing things in our lives to accomplish the same goal. But not when it comes to the gate and entering the kingdom of heaven, folks. The only way to skin that cat is by doing what Jesus and God want us to do. The cat's dead and won't scream, okay? It won't meow. I'm just kidding. Skin a pig, skin a cow. That's just a term. I don't know why they say a cat, because I don't, you know. But folks, we think we use those terms in our lives, and don't get me wrong, a lot of people probably a lot more successful with me with rolling with the flow. And you know, whatever you want me to do, boss, or I don't care if it gets done or not today, or you know, I don't care if it's as good as it needs to be. Or there's different ways to skin a cat.
But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, sin's not acceptable. Adding to and taking away from God's word is not acceptable. And the world doesn't want us to believe that. They want us to believe everybody, it goes to heaven. And the truth is, it's not true. Here was the gate. That's another reason why I tell you I love you all the time when I get up here to speak. Because you committed to be here. Because you know narrow's the gate. And I appreciate that encouragement to one another. And Jesus continues in Matthew and he says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, the plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Narrow is the gate." We're looking at passages, and Jesus is talking about, obviously, on the Sermon on the Mount, before he says narrow is the gate. He explains all these things. In the next part of the passage, he says narrow is the gate. I highlight things that I've had to struggle with in my life and drop on my knees and ask Jesus to help. You know the old saying about, right? And there's three fingers pointing right back at you and a thumb that don't know what it wants to do. Jesus says, you're going to be tempted with this. Don't be a hypocrite. Work on your own self. Examine yourself. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. It doesn't say stop judging. It doesn't say do not judge. Okay? Because there's passages in God's word that says judge righteous judgment. Every time I hear somebody quote this, I said, well, what about the passage that says judge righteous judgment? When somebody says, judge not, lest you be judged, all they're trying to do is have you accept sin. It's okay if I don't obey Jesus. Don't judge me. Judgment-free zone. God's word is still God's word. Be very careful when you start. Make sure you're doing it out of love and compassion and the right reasons. And make sure you don't throw your pearls before swine. Well, it's unique. You know, why did Jesus say that, right? You know, most all our Bibles separate this from this passage. The pearls before swine, it's its own little section. But I think it fits with this perfect. Have you ever told somebody and they said, judge not, lest you be judged? All you're trying to do is explain to them the righteousness of heaven. The truth, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We need to remember that last part of this passage. That's when I'm going to throw my hands up. You don't want to hear the word of God? I'm going to shake the dust off my feet and go somewhere else. I'm not going to argue with you. Your heart is not right to listen to God. That's tough. Folks, that's a tough thing to accept. Just like narrow is the gate. And Jesus said it, your hearts are hardened multiple times to good people, to religious people. Actually, Jesus said that almost all the time to religious people. It was only until Paul came afterwards that he said, you guys are done and we're going to the Gentiles. Praise be to God, because that's what we are. Narrow is the gate. But as we live a life to be accepted through that gate, I don't know about you, but I want to see clearly. Jesus said, How are you going to see clearly? Some of us, I'm looking around the room here. We almost got 50% of the people in here wearing glasses. Okay? 49, he just took his off. Just kidding. But you think about that. How do you want to see clearly? Spiritually. When you see clearly spiritually, folks, everything else falls into place. Your work habits, your ethics, your love, your forgiveness, your grace, your politics, your giving, your relationships, they all fall into place. Basically, Jesus is saying, make sure your heart's right before you go running around looking at other people. And I'll use this. Folks, if we spend 95% of the time on ourselves and 5% of the time on other people, I think we'd be lots more successful at this. Or are you one of the 95%ers? You want to look at everybody else, examine everybody else. Narrow is the gate. Don't do that. Don't do that. Satan's in your heart. Satan wants you to believe that you are self-righteous. Absolutely not. We're only righteous through the blood of Christ. Through His grace and His mercy. Narrow is the gate. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be torn to pieces. I don't like my heart ripped in two by somebody accusing me of being a hypocrite. We need to be able to be confident enough to reason from the scriptures with people when we're confronted in our lives, or when we have opportunity to share. I don't know about you, I'm looking forward to that when I get met at the gate. And I don't care who meets me. I don't care. I don't care if nobody meets me and the gate's open wide. I will walk through. I'm going in. Dad, Jesus, His words say, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will be given him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how good to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. That's tough for me. Difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And if that is just a little difficult for me, I ask you, because Jesus hung on the cross, how hard is it for him? He knew people would reject him through all eternity, but he still died on the cross. We need to recognize people, this narrow is the gate, people are going to reject Jesus and righteousness and the truth. In the way, but we need to be just like Jesus and still love them and still forgive them and still have compassion on them. And maybe we can win them over by the love of Christ. Peter said, you know what? I'm going to win somebody. I'm going to win for Jesus with the sword. Jesus gave us a great example. Now, once again, folks, God has government set up, and it's in His holy word that we're to obey them, and it's set up for our civilization and our righteousness. So there is a time, unfortunately, that we have to fight evil. But just like I mentioned last week, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. It's unique, I mentioned that last week, if those of you that remember that. Lucas, this week, what did I ask you if you had misplaced a mine? Tuesday night in the music room. My capos. Yeah. I had two capos out in the music room, and I had one in the house. And I took all my music stuff in the house, and just so you guys don't know, I got a music room out in the pole barn, and we have guitars, and we sing and play a little bit, and, you know, relax. So I said, Lucas, I know I had two capos out here. Where'd they go? You and Kyle were out here playing. What's the deal? Guess what I insinuated? Guess what my memory of my son, who's much younger than me, I'm claiming the old factor. He said, Dad, did you take any capos up to camp up in Michigan with that guitar in that case? Yeah, you're right. I felt even lower than this, but I'm sorry. We got to be cautious, brothers and sisters. I mean, that stuff happens. I mean, not, you know, maybe it don't happen to you. Or maybe you just don't pay attention. I don't know, but I want to do the right thing. I want to represent the kingdom of heaven. I say that because there are times in our lives when we need to make sure we humble ourselves. You say, I'm sorry for insinuating that you took my stuff and didn't take care. We're going to be doing that until we get through the gate. It's just part of life. It's just part of life. And you know why I do that and why I talk about those things? I have an opportunity up here, but I tell you this. When Lucas has children, I want him to teach them even better than I did. Because that's one of the biggest differences we can make in this life, is leaving faithful people and examples in our lives. I hope my children follow Jesus better than I did in my life. They don't have to do the same things, okay, necessarily. And that way, hopefully they'll do the same with their generations and generations, folks, of people that are entering a narrow gate. Look at that. I'm from Michigan, and I tried to turn the color up. You guys, it's pretty good, but it's an apple tree. They got some good apples in Michigan. I'm telling you, right off the tree. I won't tell you I did when I was like a kid, you know, but I will. I repented of it. I cooned some apples, you know. But this is what Jesus says about fruits, spiritual-wise. That's why I brought the apple tree up. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord,
Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I plead with us this morning not to be swayed by words or cunningness or guilt or anything somebody tries to change the word of God about. And recognize when somebody tries to convince you of something, recognize their fruits and what true fruits are. The fruits that are talked about in God's holy word: love, peace, grace, mercy, forgiveness, patience, godliness, loving kindness, brotherly kindness, forgiveness. It's really easy to see if someone is in a narrow way or not by just seeing if they're following those things that I've mentioned, those fruits. Fruits of righteousness, fruits of God, fruits of love. What a fruit of love Jesus gave us on the cross. Jesus said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he had taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Narrow is the gate. If you don't know the sayings of Jesus, I plead with you to read them, learn them, keep them in your heart. Because there's nothing better than being a wise man. I'll tell you, it was wise of me to recognize that I'd made a mistake when I accused my son of taking some, and that was mine. It was wise of him to say, did you not take them to Michigan, Dad? Yeah, it's my Homer Simpson moment. Dope! But I got to go beyond being Homer Simpson. I've got to be a person that's wise and says, forgive me, I made a mistake. I didn't mean to accuse you of that. No matter what, Jesus hangs on a tree to make us wise. Jesus died on that cross to say, I love you. I want you to live for eternity. I care about you above and beyond all things. And I pray for us these passages of scriptures we've read this morning are just full of so much truth and so many things that can help our hearts be right with God. So many things that help us stay on narrow is the gate. Jesus also mentions the narrow gate in another part of the New Testament. There's not a lot of places that he mentions this, brothers and sisters. Really, when I did a search, these are the only two passages. In Luke 13, and he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then one of them said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? So guess what? They had the question back then. Same as we do today. And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek and enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you, where you are from.
Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence and taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and will be first who will be last. It's unique. Jesus says, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. You people that proclaim to be my children and still live in sin. I struggle with that because I love people and I want all people to go to heaven. Jesus struggled with it, but he gave us his word to explain to us and tell us. And I need to be reminded. And that's why I'm sharing it with you. I hope it's a good reminder for you guys. Because you got to get rid of sin in your life. You got to help other people recognize what sin is. And it's not tolerable with God. It'll keep you from being with Jesus forever. Does anybody know what that is? Easton, what is that?
The ark.
That's the ark. You're exactly right. For some reason, as I was looking and thinking about the passage in Narrow being the gate, God is too loving to let those type of sinners not have eternal life. That's not what God's word says. God loves you so much he gave his only begotten son that whosoever shall believeth on him may have eternal life. Not that he loves everybody and every sin is going to be forgiven. That's not in God's holy word. That's not the God of the living and the God of the just and the righteous loving God. Because narrow is the gate. Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons went with him and they entered the ark. Eight people. God doesn't tolerate sin, folks. One of the biggest natural events in history that we know of that's recorded. The flood of the earth. Narrow is the gate. Don't be mistaken by what somebody wants to tell you. Somebody that doesn't know who Jesus is. Somebody doesn't know what the Word of God is. Somebody distorting or adding to or taking away what the Word of God says. This is the truth, but it's a sad fact, and it's a picture that I obtained. There's God's way and any other way. And that's tough. And like I've said earlier, as tough as it is for us, folks, can you imagine being God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and knowing this happens? And it's happened for all eternity. I say this for us to recognize and be and align with God's word and recognize that this is a truth. As sad as it may be, but to encourage us to stay on straight and narrow. To encourage us to be confident that it's well worth being at those gates. Narrow is the gate. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You will know them by their fruits. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. 8 people entered the ark. I love you guys this morning. I pray for all of us to stay on the narrow way and the straight way to enter narrow through that gate in the promised land. If you haven't given your life to Christ, if you haven't had your sins washed away by his blood in the waters of baptism, we plead with you to do that. If there's something you need prayers or you need help with in any way, we love you and care about you. And we offer this time now as a time of invitation to respond to that call if you need to as we stand and sing Selected Hymn.